nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihil karim wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yaumiddin. Faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Karim wal Furqanil Hamid, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. ربي زدني علما. My dear respected brothers, elders, sisters in Islam, we praise and we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, who has given us another opportunity to come to His holy house. We praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have answered our du'as and who has decreed that we will be living in this month of Sha'ban. Today is the 8th of Sha'ban. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us a dua in the month of Rajab, and alhamdulillah we said that dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna ila Ramadan. O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab, bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and O Allah, allow us to meet the month of Ramadan. We continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that He allows us to live to see the month of Ramadan, so that inshallah we will be able to partake of the mercies and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes to descend in the month of Ramadan. My dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was taught many lessons by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look into the lifetime of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, we will surely see that success in this world as well as in the hereafter lies in following the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear respected listeners, it has an answer for you and I even in this age and time. Many a times we hear people making all sorts of statements that was so many years ago, that was for the Arabs, that was for the desert people. They used to dress in that manner because they were living in the desert. The women used to cover their faces because of the desert and because of the winds and because of the dust therein. My dear respected brothers and sisters, that is very far from the truth. That is very far from the truth. And this is why it is important for Muslims that we have to seek knowledge. Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli Muslim. Each and every single individual, male and female, my dear respected brothers and sisters, must seek knowledge. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we were mentioning, my dear respected listeners, subhanallah, he had a great zeal for each and every single human being to enter into the Jannah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not rest in peace. He would be sleeping and then he would awake at night and he would perform salah, sometimes 8 rakats, sometimes 12 rakats. And then he would raise his hands in dua. Of course, it would be very lengthy salah. It would be very, very lengthy salah. Thereafter, he would raise his hands in dua and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect his ummah. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save his ummah from the fire of hell, For if anyone who had the conviction and yaqeen of the fire of hell, it would have been Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him Jannah and he had shown him Jahannam. And my dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never wanted anyone to go into the fire of hell. He never wanted anyone to go into the fire of hell. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the messenger of Allah, he was a prophet. So therefore his task was to give da'wah. He had to give da'wah day and night. He would give da'wah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a command from Allah, Ya ayyuhal nabi or ya ayyuhal rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayk. Convey what has been revealed to you. Convey that which has been revealed to you. And my dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his task very seriously. He took his task very seriously and he wanted to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. When a verse in Surah Hud, once the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba saw that he became great. So they asked him, O Messenger of Allah, how is it that you become great so quickly and you are so young? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Shayyabatni Suratu Hud, that Suratu Hud has caused me to become great. And upon further questioning, my dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the ayat that caused him to become great in Surah Hud was Fastaqim kama umirta, become firm and be constant upon that which you have been commanded. And as we have mentioned, my dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being a prophet of Allah, he was commanded to do this tabligh and he was commanded to spread this kalima la ilaha illallah. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go out at all lengths to try to ensure that people would accept this kalima. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would speak to people day and night, he would speak to people. And it is for this reason, my dear respected listeners, we hear about the stories of Ta'if. We hear about when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stoned at Ta'if. So it so happened that one day, some of the Jews and the Christians, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they asked him, let's cut a deal. Let's cut a deal. We want to make a deal with you. You want us to embrace Islam? We will embrace Islam. But before we embrace Islam, we want you to accept some of our conditions. We want you to accept some of our conditions. And in doing so, we will also have to boycott some of the principles of Islam. My dear respected listeners, When some of the Jews and the Christians came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tried to make a deal like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught a lesson to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is also a lesson for us, my dear respected listeners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَن تَرَضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he was covetous of these Jews and these Christians accepting Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him some of the secrets of the heart. And he taught him that these Jews and the Christians will not be pleased until you follow their way. Hatta tattabi'a millatahum. Until you follow their way. Until you follow their way of life. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was taught that the only way of life can be of that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that he has taught the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have mentioned, he wanted so much that people enter into Islam. He was willing to do anything for people to be safe on the fire of hell. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was taught a very important lesson, which is a lesson for you and I, my dear respected listeners, that no matter what, no matter sometimes how far we may try to reach, there are some people who will not come on the other side. There will be some people who will never come onto the other side of the acceptance of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the O Messenger of Allah, no matter what you tell them, no matter what you do for them, they will never accept. No matter how much you try to convince them, they will not accept. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants everyone to come into Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never block the doors of hidayat from anyone. But it is mankind, It is because of the deeds of mankind, because of the hearts of mankind being blackened, my dear respected listeners, they become deaf, dumb, and blind to the words of Allah and the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these people will not accept. These people will not accept. And O messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says further, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. Say, O messenger of Allah, certainly the guidance of Allah, هُوَ الْهُدَى, it is guidance. The guidance of Allah, it is guidance. وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, and if you were to follow their desires after knowledge has come to you, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيِّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ, then there will not be with you from Allah, there will not be with you against Allah any helper, nor will you get any friend to help you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected listeners, according to some of the commentators of the Holy Quran, firstly, we must understand that this ayat is a teaching and a lesson for the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would never ever compromise. He would never ever boycott any laws of Islam which ought to be practiced upon. As we have mentioned, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine that, becoming grey because he was commanded to come, he was commanded, fastaqim kama umirta. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would never ever boycott any laws of Islam. But this is a lesson for you and I. This is a lesson for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected listeners, just as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam scenario, sometimes we want people to come into Islam. We want to do things that people come into Islam, and we want to sort of make a treaty. We want to go halfway and they will also come halfway. Sometimes they want us to come three-quarter way and they want to just come a quarter way. My dear respected listeners, this is a universal principle that we must understand with regards to da'wah. This is a universal principle with regards to how we are to deal with the non-Muslims and how far we are to go with regards to da'wah, how far we are to go with regards to how much we can compromise in deen, how much we can use wisdom in deen, my dear respected listeners. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا إِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If you were to follow their desires, if you were to follow their desires, بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, after knowledge has come to you, then you will not find against Allah any helper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be against you, and you will not find any helper, nor will you find any friend again to fight with you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected listeners, if we understand this ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is speaking about the Jews and the Christians. The commentators of the Holy Quran mentioned to us, and he is speaking about the Jews and the Christians, two adyan, which can be understood as two deens. But here he says that if you follow their desires, and also he mentions, tattabi'a millatahum, if you were to follow their way, if you were to follow their way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is categorizing the Jews and the Christians as one religion. He is categorizing the Jews and the Christians as one religion for us to understand something as Muslims. O Muslims, mashallah, in the time when Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was there and he preached and he taught, those who accepted him, mashallah, they were upon a good millat. They were upon the millat of Islam. After him, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, those who followed Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they followed the millat of Isa, which was the millat of Allah. That was Islam also, mashallah. Afterwards, people started to change. People started to make all sorts of discrepancies in their books, my dear respected brothers and sisters, and they did not follow their authentic deen. They did not follow the authentic deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here, my dear respected listeners, that afterwards, after these prophets have gone and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come, those people who do not accept Islam, they are upon one millat. Those people who do not accept Islam, they are upon one millat, my dear respected listeners. They are upon one millat, and they are upon the millat of kufr. They are upon the millat of kufr. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the tradition also that no Jew or no Christian will hear about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they do not believe in him except they will enter into the fire of hell. Except that they will enter into the fire of hell. No matter how good a neighbor we may have, my dear respected brothers and sisters, no matter how good our family may be, if they are a non-Muslim, they will surely enter into the fire of hell. Of course, mashallah, we make the intention to give them da'wah. We make the intention that our life, inshallah, will be an example for them to enter into Islam. But my dear respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is teaching us that their millat of kufr is only one. Kufr and Islam, this is the only two categories that there will be. Yawm al-Qiyamah, those are the only two categories that we could categorize now on the face of the earth. There can be no deen other than Islam, my dear respected listeners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further told the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you were to follow their desires, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be your wali. If you were to follow their desires, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be your wali. Of course, my dear respected listeners, again, we reiterate that this is certainly not for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asum. He would never ever follow their desires. But of course, sometimes the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his anxiety of trying to get people to accept Islam, trying to save people from the fire of hell, then sometimes humanly possible, he would ignore certain things, that which was humanly possible. But with regards to Iman and Aqeedah and Yaqeen, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never ever turn his focus away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never ever turn his focus away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected listeners, this is a lesson for us. This is a lesson for you and I, that sometimes, mashallah, we are living in this world. We are living in this world, and no one says that we cannot have anything to do with the non-believers. We must have something to do with the non-believers. In the books of fiqh, it mentions that it is permissible to do trade with the non-believers. Who does it come from, my dear respected listeners? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many a times we hear that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pawned his armor with a Jew. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did transactions with non-believers. And likewise, we also have to do transactions with non-believers. We also have to do transactions with non-believers. Sometimes they are our family members. Sometimes they are our family members. Sometimes they are our bosses. Sometimes we have to travel with them in the same vehicle. Sometimes they are our friends. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran tells us that do not take the unbelievers as friends. As bosom friends. My dear respected listeners, the point that we have to understand is that yes, mashallah, as da'iyan ilallah, as inviters towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to behave in a good way. We have to behave in a good way. And sometimes, yes, with hikmah, we can adopt hikmah, inshallah, with regards to inviting the non-believers to Islam. With regards to inviting the non-believers to Islam, mashallah, water is halal as long as it does not come from haram sources. Mashallah, water is permissible. So non-believers, give us water. Mashallah, we can drink water. Accepting an invitation from a non-believer as long as their earnings is halal is not totally wrong. We can eat from them that which is halal. We can accept from them that which is halal as long as their earnings are not haram, my dear respected listeners. So therefore, yes, mashallah, we know that we have a certain amount of ta'alluq. We have a certain amount of ta'alluq with the non-believers. But we have to be very careful, my dear respected listeners and brothers and sisters. We have to be very careful. Sometimes being in an environment of non-believers, sometimes dealing with non-believers, we start to go beyond the line of hikmah. We start to go beyond the line of moderation, and we end up into compromising our deen. We end up compromising our deen. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boast about this ummah about? We are the ummata wasata. Inna ja'alnakum ummata wasata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has sent us as a moderate nation. We are a moderate nation, my dear respected brothers and sisters. Look into the Holy Quran. Look into the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will see and learn how moderate it is, inshallah. Sometimes we try to use our own intelligence. Sometimes we try to use our own intelligence, my dear respected brothers and sisters, and we end up in trouble. We end up in trouble thinking that we have to use hikmah to bring people into deen. We have to use hikmah to bring people into deen. So ma'azallah, look what can happen, my dear respected brothers and sisters. 1 month away from the month of Ramadan, just for the sake of mithal, imagine our boss who is a non-Muslim, he invites us into a party. He invites us into a party, and in that party there will be alcohol, there will be singing, there will be dancing, there will be music, there will be intermingling of women. But we think, if I refuse, my boss will feel bad. If I refuse, I might lose my job. I have to also give the da'wah. Sometimes this is how people think, my dear respected listeners. Sometimes this is how people think. And in the month of Ramadan, a person is fasting and he goes there and he will meet everyone and he will tell them, I am fasting. He will tell them, I am fasting, I cannot drink, I cannot eat anything. And he thinks this is moderation. He thinks this is wisdom. My dear respected listeners, understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. That the deen of Allah and the deen of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something pure. And yes, of course, we are ummata wasata. And we can use wisdom. We can use wisdom to inshallah try to encourage people, try to encourage non-Muslims. Come sit and listen to hear what the khatibs have to say. Come and look and see how Muslims observe prayer. Come and see, alhamdulillah, how Muslims deal with one another. Rich, poor, middle class, everyone coming and sitting together in a masjid so that they can hear about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is about deen. It is not about social background. It is not about racial background. These are the types of wisdom that we can adopt, my dear respected listeners. These are the types of wisdom that we can adopt. But when we go further than that, my dear respected listeners, we put our deen in trouble. When we go further than that, we put our iman in trouble. We put the iman of our children in trouble. We put the iman of our wives in trouble. We put the iman of our family members in trouble. So the moral and the hasil of this ayat of the Holy Quran, my dear respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and us also that be careful. Be careful. Sometimes people will make you think that they are inclined towards deen. They will make you think that they are inclined towards deen. And you as Muslims, mashallah, in your covetousness of trying to get them to embrace Islam, you would also want to go the half mile. You would also want to go the half mile. But be careful. Be careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who knows their hearts. And He says, the millat of kufr is one. He says, the millat of kufr is one. And O Muslims, O Muslims, do not feel that we have to stoop down to the unbelievers. We should feel, mashallah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna hudallahi huwal huda. Certainly, guidance, it is the guidance of Allah. We must never ever think. We must never ever think that what the non-believers have is better than us. The parties that they have, the cars that they drive in, the way that they live their lives, the way that they live their lives is a better way than us. No way can ever be better than that of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No lifestyle can be better than that of a lifestyle of a Muslim. My dear respected listeners, no lifestyle can be better than that of the lifestyle of a Muslims. So sometimes we have to be careful that a person has the inferiority complex and a person thinks low about his Islam. He has to hide in a corner and perform his salah. He has to hide. He does not want people to know that my name is Muhammad. My name is Abu Bakr. He does not want people to know that. He does not want people to see him with a topi. As soon as he comes out of the masjid, he takes it and puts it away far in his pocket, in the deep recesses of the pocket. When trying to find it again, he can't find it for the next salah. MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my dear respected listeners, that izzat of Islam, that izzat of Islam will come into our hearts, inshallah. For in another ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimands us. He says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Do you try to seek from them izzat? Do you try to seek from the non-Muslim izzat? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. He says, certainly, izzat is only for the believers. Izzat, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Sorry. For certainly, izzat and honor is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to seek honor, my dear respected listeners, if we want to be respected by people, we have to look from that, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not try to beg respect from other people, my dear respected listeners. Respect is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we want respect, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot turn to the unbelievers, my dear respected listeners. My dear respected listeners, this is one lesson, inshallah, that we can learn. In our training for the month of Ramadan, as we have been mentioning, this is one lesson that we can adopt, my dear respected listeners. There's a cutoff point. There's a cutoff point. The month of Ramadan is coming. The month of Ramadan is coming. How many of us as Muslims laborers and as Muslim workers, are thinking about, probably I can Probably I can take some leave from my job and inshallah I can spend the last 10 days of sunnah i'tikaf just as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us, my dear respected listeners, we are making preparation for the month of Ramadan with regards to our work, ensuring that alhamdulillah in this month of Sha'ban, things are put in place so that it will be easy for me for the month of Ramadan. My dear respected listeners, let us learn this lesson inshallah. Let us learn this lesson that we as Muslims, we cannot compromise our deen, even though we have to intermingle, even though we have to work amongst the non-Muslims. And if we have to do something that is against Islam, let us stop it from now inshallah. If we have to do something that is wrong and we know it is wrong, let us stop it from now inshallah, so that when the month of Ramadan comes, we will get ample benefit from the month of Ramadan. We will not have to try to train ourselves to not compromise in the month of Ramadan. That training should come from now, my dear respected listeners. Also, my dear respected listeners, another training that we have to adopt in this month of Sha'ban is the example of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadha Ummi Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions, مَا رَأَيْتُ نَبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسُومُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ إِلَّا شَعْبَانِ. She said that I never saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا شَعْبَانِ وَرَمَضَانِ. I never saw the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasting 2 months consecutively except as that of Sha'ban and Ramadan. These 2 months, my dear respected listeners, if we want to try to follow the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, the month of Sha'ban is a month whereby the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast quickly. So much so, sometimes the companion said, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast so much, we thought that he would not stop fasting. And sometimes it is also mentioned that he was not fasting, that we did not know if he was going to fast. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different traditions, he has mentioned that, mashallah, up to the 15th of Sha'ban is good to fast. In some traditions, he only prohibited fasting 2 days before the month of Ramadan, and sometimes one. Why? So that a person does not become too weak to fast for the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is the maqsood, inshallah. The month of Ramadan is that which is compulsory. Fasting in this month, inshallah, is sunnah, just as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. My dear respected listeners, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is narrated about him that in the 14th night, the 15th night, sorry, which is next week Thursday, inshallah, the night of next week Thursday, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to wake up and do ibadat. It is also narrated about him that he would fast on the 15th of Sha'ban. There are some problems with the traditions that have been narrated, my dear respected brothers and sisters. However, Mufti Taqi Usmani rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that because of the amount of plentiful ahadith that has come in line with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waking up in the night and doing ibadat on the 15th night of Sha'ban and also fasting on the day, then mashallah, it is also something good that we should also fast. It is also something good that we should fast, inshallah. Beyond that, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month, Ayyamul Bid, which is known as Ayyamul Bid of the month. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast on those days. So even if we fast on the 15th day, inshallah, we can fast with that intention. My dear respected listeners, the ulama of the past also, mashallah, the ulama of the past also, on the 15th night of Sha'ban, they used to wake up in the night, do a lot of ibadat, recite a lot of Quran, perform a lot of salah, do the dhikr of Allah, do the tilawat of Quran, whatever form of ibadat inshallah, dhikr of Almighty Allah, supplication to Almighty Allah. It is also inshallah a training for the month of Ramadan. And my dear respected listeners, it is not only for the 15th night. It is not only for the 15th night. We should try as much as possible to train ourselves for these nights of the month of Sha'ban, that we can wake up early. Very shortly, we'll have to wake up very early in the month of Ramadan, my dear respected listeners. So we can train ourselves, inshallah. Be it the 15th night of Sha'ban, or be it any other night, inshallah, we should try as much as possible to wake up early in the morning. Wake up early in the morning, do the ibadat of Allah. Do the ibadat of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my dear respected listeners, to follow the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand his words, inshallah, and implement it in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elongate our lives for us to meet the month of Ramadan and taste of the blessings and mercy.